burden that the Lord has inspired to me is instruction in righteousness or teaching from the book of Romans. I'd like for you to turn with me to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. I'd like to speak to us about our earnest expectation. Romans chapter 8. We'll begin with the 14th verse. Read a few verses here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You know what a blessing it is to be able to be called a child of God? You can have the titles that men proclaim and give people. They have the titles of reverend and more reverend, and I believe most reverend, and none of those being ascribed to God. But to be able to be called the greatest and highest calling that we could be called unto, to be a child of God. We have the privilege to be led by the Spirit of God to receive the Spirit of adoption. Those of us, that all of us as orphans, as those without a home or without a family, is left, so to speak, on the street, that there was a Father in heaven that loved us and that offered the way for us to become sons, to become children. That it's not a place just of servitude or of orphans, or as the scripture says, of bastards, that we may be called the children of God. Want us to consider for a bit what that means to us. It says, if children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. What the Lord has made available to us as children, those that are children of a household, they're made heirs of the promise, or heirs of the household, or the head of the household, of what he has, of his wealth, of his properties, of everything, it is considered to be passed down unto the children. Do you know of all that the Father has, it is considered to be heired unto us as children of God. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. John chapter, and we'll keep coming back to this chapter, but John chapter 17, we look at Jesus whenever he came down from heaven in the glory and the splendor of heaven, and he came as flesh. He came in the flesh to be one of us. But whenever he was alone and praying unto the Father, he said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. What you have given me, Father, of what I have access to and of what I am, I've given it unto them. I've shared it with them. I've given it unto them. And he prayed as one, as the only one, that had come from heaven in the splendor of God in the right hand of the Father, and he came into this world. We who are born into this world, we know no different. We don't know what it's like yet in fullness to be in the presence of God and his holy angels. Yes, we have a foretaste of it. We have a taste of heaven, as maybe we'll get into a little more, by the earnest of his Spirit. We have a taste of what heaven is here. We know what his presence feels like here. But now we see in part. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then we're going to see face to face. We'll be able to see him as he is. There's one that saw him as he was. whose glory he shared from the beginning of the world. And now he took on him this form, of flesh, of humanity, of pain, of suffering, of sickness, of hurts, of wounds, of offenses, of all the things that he experienced in the flesh. Do you think he ever remembered? You think he ever remembered it? Of course he did. He had communion with the Father. And that's where our taste of heaven comes from too. Communing with the Lord and our talking with him. But here he prayed, Lord, the glory that we shared from the beginning. Oh, what a glory that must have been. Do you know it wasn't only for him? The glory that we have shared, I want them to have it as well. The glory that we have had together. Jesus said, speaking unto his disciples, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That now you're made heirs of this kingdom, of all that this kingdom is. What is the kingdom? It's not meat and drink. So much more than that. So much more than what this world strives to be able to obtain. But it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what this kingdom is. And he said, Father, I would that you give this unto them. Don't fear, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure. He wants to give you as children of God through the adoption of sons. He wants to make every one of us heirs of the fullness of his kingdom, that I don't have to go live somewhere on the outskirts or somewhere just right on the boundary of it, but the fullness of this kingdom is for us to possess. Thank the Lord for the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry. The response of our heart is to cry out unto him, Abba, or Father, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, it's not just something that is a hope that we have. It's not something that, well, I hope that I've got it. I hope that I can obtain eternal life. I hope that I'm a child of God. But there is that which bears witness with our spirit. To bear witness to means to be in agreement with. Our spirit that cries out unto him, Abba Father, but it's not only in our words or our desires. If you testify of yourself, that's nothing. But whenever the Father can testify as well through his spirit that you are a child of God, in our difficulties, in our hard times, when the accuser of the brethren comes against us, aren't you thankful that the Spirit of God can bear witness, can confirm us that you are a child of God? What more confirmation do we need? What more do I need whenever I'm facing the enemy of my soul? Because when I can claim the name of Jesus, I belong to him. I'm his child. You go see him about it. You go talk to him, and I can have the Lord come in and confirm to me through my spirit that you are my child. To be in agreement with. Bears witness with us that we are the children of God. Spoke about being heirs, joint heirs. If so be that we do suffer with him, what did Jesus say? If you suffer with me, you'll also reign with me. That we may, lose my place here, that we may be glorified together with the glory that Jesus was praying about and speaking to the Father of, that we may be glorified together. He said that where I go, you're not able to come now, but I go to prepare a place for you. That where I go, I'll bring you also unto myself. You know, Jesus was giving that to the disciples at a time when they were about to go out as sheep among wolves, about to go out into a hostile world. He was giving them a hope. You're about to see me go away, but don't lose hope. Don't lose courage. Don't lose faith. Be faithful unto the end. And there's a crown of life that's waiting for you. The hope that we have of being glorified together with him. You know, whenever we have a vision of what heaven is, Whenever we have a vision and a picture of the glory that will be revealed in us, it's why the Lord wants to be able to give us a glimpse of. And yes, we realize that now we only see in part. We're not able. I don't think that these mortal bodies and minds could be able to fully take it if I could really see the veil fully pulled back of the glory of God and what it is to be around His throne. But He gives us a taste. He gives us a glimpse of it, and you know, He puts His seed within us that should be that causes us to yearn for it, that causes us to have a taste of what it is. We sing a song that says, "And when in scenes of glory I sing a new song, 'twill be the old story that I have known so long." Folks, yes, it'll be different. We'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. But do you know what it's going to be? Is not something that's foreign to us. To those of us that have received this adoption of sons, that have had the manifestation of the Spirit to us, it's just going to be the fulfillment of it. It's just going to be the fullness of what I've tasted in part of, that now I can experience the fullness of it in His glory. You know, that gives us something to hope for. It gives us something that's more than just an empty hope or an empty idea or a fable that's passed down of some happy afterlife. But it's something that's planted down within here. It's a seed that's planted, that is born from above, that yearns to be above, that yearns for that of which and from which it was born, that which is born from God. Lord, help us so we not lose sight of the glory that will be revealed in us. Folks, don't lose sight of the payday. Today's our day of work. Today is our day of labor and toil. But be faithful unto the end. He said it again in Revelation. Some of you will be taken up. Some of you will be stoned and martyred. But be faithful until the end. And I'll give you a crown of righteousness. That'll be yours. I'll give it to you if you'll endure unto the end. Did you know it's going to require us when we get into the hard places that I remember there's something I'm fighting for. There's something that I'm looking unto. Ever keep heaven in view. May the Lord help us so we not become discouraged, our head hung down, and fail to keep sight on the reward that if we endure unto the end, we'll be able to be partakers of. I believe that the Apostle Paul had a picture of that. I believe that he had a vision of what it would mean. How could he? Because he was tasting of it. Because he sat together in heavenly places. Spiritually, there was a spiritual tasting. Oh, what a foretaste we sing. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine that I'm tasting of now through the earnest that He has given to us by His Spirit. He's given unto us the earnest. Well, let's just turn and look at that. Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians 1, speaking of the Holy Spirit of promise, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. You know what the earnest is? Whenever you go and you purchase something or you make a down payment, you give earnest money unto it. It's just a payment of the same source of what will be paid in full. That I go and I say, I'll give $1,000 on this as earnest that I'm going to give you the rest of it in due time. You know, in due season, we will reap if we faint not that of which we can taste today of His Spirit. That which we can taste of in part can be revealed to us in the redemption of the purchased possession. Whenever He says, my child, it's time. Come on home. Your payday has come. We can then enjoy not only the earnest, but the full measure of it at that time. And so the Apostle Paul, I believe, had a vision of it whenever he said here in Romans 8, verse 18, I reckon, or I count up, that the suffering of this present time... Did the Apostle Paul know what suffering was? I believe he did. Man is but few days, and full of trouble, full of woes, beset by trouble on every hand, and the Apostle Paul felt it, he experienced it as well. But he had his eyes on something beyond that. Something more than that, he was looking unto something that he said, you know what, whenever I have a perspective that's different, my perspective is not set on the things of this world. You know, it's the problem with our world today. They measure everything by what's temporal. They measure everything by this life. And I believe one scripture even says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then why am I punished, or am I chastised all the time? Let us rise up and eat and drink, for tomorrow we live, or tomorrow we die, and there's nothing more beyond it. If that was the extent of this life. But the Apostle Paul had a different vision and picture of a glory that far surpassed everything here that he experienced, that far outweighed it whenever he put it on one side of the balance and on the other side, said, you know what? Yes, I have some suffering, I have some hardship, but when I put the weight of glory, it's worth it. It's worth being faithful through whatever our tests and our trials are, that we would have a vision of the glory that will be revealed in us. I'm thankful for this hope. It's a hope that the world doesn't have. It's why Paul said that we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. We don't sorrow whenever our loved ones pass away, and we have the hope that they made heaven their home. We don't sorrow the hopeless sorrow of the world, but we have in it a great hope. Read a story just this week. Girl in the UK, a young girl that was diagnosed with cancer and was given a short space of time to live. And her parents, as best I understood, had no belief in God or the Christian faith. So they had nothing really to offer her of hope. Nothing really to speak to her of something beyond this life. Of something beyond the grave. This girl in her sorrow and grief, but she was maybe teenage years, young teen, said, I don't want to die. I don't want to go. And she had heard about a process or a technology of cryogenics, I believe it's called, where the body can be preserved and can be pumped of some kind of antifreeze and then submerged into liquid nitrogen at hundreds of degrees below zero and near absolute zero, and the body can be preserved, they believe, almost indefinitely. So she said, maybe at one time in the future, scientists and doctors will find the cure for cancer. So I want to be frozen. I want to be preserved. So if 200 years down the road they find the cure, then you can bring me back. You know, it's a shallow hope. That's a shallow hope to place all of your hopes in, that maybe somehow, because this is all there is. But I am so thankful for a hope that goes beyond the grave that we have to look for. So now the text of subject of the message in verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know what the earnest expectation is? An intense longing. An intense desire and longing within the heart of the creature we are. The scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. speaking here, I believe, of the new creation or the child of God, there is an intense longing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. So there is an intense longing for the manifestation of the sons of God. The scripture says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when we see him, we shall be like him. Whenever we see him and we appear in glory, oh, the song says, what a day that will be. You know, there is to be within every one of us a longing, a desire, this part of the seed that he planted within us that's born from above that longs to be home again. You know, I don't believe that it's just a place of misery here below. I don't believe that we're to sit around hating our lives and just wishing for it to end, because we have a measure according to the grace of God for this life that we have of grace and of joy and of peace that we can experience right here below that is of God. You know, I enjoy life. But whenever I really stop and think about it, all the things that I enjoy of life is because of God. Love and life, and he giveth to all life and breath and all things freely. James says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, of all that we know and we can enjoy in this life. You know, it's because of him. It's because of God, of all, even of a sin-filled world. The only pleasure and the only glimpse of what love is because of God. Because God is love. The Apostle Paul, I believe, found a pretty good balance for it. Philippians chapter 1. It says that the same man that had a vision of the glory that was to be revealed in him. 1:23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. There was rejoicing here. He said that they were his crown and they were his rejoicing. But he also had a longing within him. I want to go home. I want to be able to taste of the fullness. There was a longing within him to depart and be with the Father. There was a hope within him that was so bright, that doth not shrink though death appear. But there's something that enabled the martyrs, whenever they faced death, whenever they faced the stake and the lion, to be able to say, I don't fear death. Death is my best friend right now, because it's the only thing that separates me from God. And it will be the vehicle that allows me to be returned unto him. You know, that's not a hope that you can just manufacture, but it's something deep within the heart that God places there by the witness of his Spirit that allows us to have a strong hope within us. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Not speaking just of pride, but the vanity of this life. All is vanity. You can read in Ecclesiastes of this life, man, and being given the form of flesh and of man and of its inherent weakness that comes with it, of decay that we see that happens with old age, of weakness, of troubles, of sorrows, of tears, of all of that, God in his wisdom allowed us to be subject unto that. It said it was not willingly. Jesus was the only one that of his own will said, I want to go and subject myself to that. I want to go and be made subject unto the light passions like this. We didn't have a choice. When we're born into this world, we didn't have a choice of the troubles that we'd face, the difficulty, the grief, the sorrows, the tears that we would encounter in our lives. But you know, it gives me hope that it was the will of God to allow these. And if he allows this sorrow, this state of vanity that we have to experience, that He has the grace for us to be able to keep us and to be able to bring us through to glory. The creature, we were made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him or of God who subjected the same in hope. All of this should cause us to long all the more for home. To long all the more to be able to taste in fullness of the glory that He has revealed to us. And I believe part of the wisdom of God and allow, you know, I believe He wants us to long for home. I believe that He doesn't want us to dread it or to enjoy or become so attached to this life that I can't bear the thought of being able to separate myself from the things of this life, from the possessions that I have. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of possessions that he has. If that's the extent of our life, and oh, it's so easy in a materialistic time and world to begin getting attached to this world, to begin to put our treasure on things that are below and not on things that are above. Set your affections on things that are above and not on things that are in this world. May the Lord help us that we have a greater and greater love for God. Not for the things, a love for the things of this world, but a love for the things of God. And if we put our treasure in heaven, you know, there's something on the other shore that calls for us. He hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Can you imagine what it'd be like to be set free? Every one of us that are children of God know what it feels like because we've been set free. We've been set free from the bondage of sin, from Egypt's dark bondage. We've been released from that and set free from it in our spirit and our soul, whereby we can serve God with a pure heart. That we can love Him with a pure heart fervently, that it doesn't matter what you bring my way. It doesn't matter life or death or principalities or powers or whatever comes my way. There's something that can't bring again bondage to me. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded and confident that He's able to keep that I have committed to Him. They cannot bring again the sins the blood hath washed away, nor make my heart like stone once more, nor turn to night my day. Whatever I experience in this life, I know what liberty is. I know what freedom is. But you know, we're still subject to corruptibility. We're still subject to the bondage of this flesh, of this body, of the weakness that I'm in. I can't just will to be out of it. I can't just will to go home to be with the Lord. I am subject to this. In a sense, I am in bondage. And oh, I've seen those that have suffered and suffered and suffered coming down to their point of death. And it seemed like they just couldn't be released, to the point that you pray, Lord, heal them or take them home. One, they're in such suffering, they're in such agony here. You know, there comes a time when that cord is broken. There comes a time whenever that spirit, the body, shall return to the dust. That which is of the earth will return to the earth, but that which is of God, that which is born from above, will return unto Him into the glorious liberty, or the hope of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You know, the whole creation is under the penalty of sin. Because of sin, we see all around us death, suffering, sorrow, sickness, disease, all of these things that are around us that we are subject unto, that all the creation before the fall of man, we don't read of sorrow and of death and disease, The sin ushered all of this into the world, and all creation groans together until now under the weight and the burden of sin, or the effects, you might say, of sin. And you know, we too are subject unto the effects of sin. Not within our own lives or sin that rules and reigns in our lives, but because of sin, what did God say unto Adam? You're going to have to go out by the sweat of your brow because of sin. To Eve, you're going to have to travail in childbirth. You're going to have to experience pain and suffering and difficulty. They had to experience the pain of losing a son. That was because of sin that was entered into the world. We know what grief and sorrow and suffering is, but there's coming a time. The earnest expectation of the creature that longs for the day when the sorrow and sighs will pass away and the tears will be wiped away. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, or waiting for the fulfillment of it, for the redemption of the purchased possession, whenever I can see him face to face. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? You know, hope is not a present tense. We have hope, but we don't hope for what we see and possess here. It is a hope for that which is to come. And it's the hope that we as the children of God are to have right here in this present world. A hope of something that is to come. Something that encourages us along the way. Something that tells us and encourages us and picks us up when I don't feel like going another step. That tells me it'll be worth it. That gives me another glimpse of what it'll be like. That says, yes, I can keep going forward. I can keep going on. It'll be worth it. There is a hope. Have we any hope within us of a life beyond the grave? Do we have a hope that calls for us? Jesus said, whenever you see all the sorrows that are beginning to come to pass in the world, whenever you see all the signs of the times and men's hearts begin to fail them for fear, did he say unto them too, your hearts are going to fail you too? Your hearts are going to succumb to fear that's going to overtake you? He said, no, at that time, there's something within you now. There's something within the earnest expectation, the intense longing for. It says, Lord, my time's getting close. Lord, my time is drawing close. Of all the else that is around us, I don't just dismiss it and have a carelessness or no care for the souls that are in bondage of sin and for my loved ones that are lost. But folks, when it comes down to it, I've got to make heaven. No matter what anybody else does, I have to make it for myself. I have to be able to have a determination. No matter what, no matter what anyone else does, I have an intense longing within my heart. Lord, I want to make heaven my home. I want to go to heaven. I want to be faithful to the end. I want to be able. I remember when I was in college. That was just 4.5 years. But I remember times of finals week and times of stress and trying for a while to work and trying to study and all of this, and I can remember just laying down with my head in my hands and thinking, will it ever be over? Will I ever hear? And I would sing in my mind or play in my mind that graduation song, you know, Pomp and Circumstance. And I'd lay there and say, I can only imagine what it'll be. You know, the day came that I heard Pomp and Circumstance. The day came that I got a diploma that has said, you've completed it. You're finished now with this phase or this test or this schooling that you've been in. You're finished with it. What a greater reward to hear him say, well done. Whenever I draw my last breath and all the difficulty and the suffering and the times of darkness that I had to battle my way through and the times of depression that I had to push aside by the help of the Lord to be able to get through it all. Look up and see the glory of God and to hear Him say, well done. You know, I think too today, we can do a little bit of what I did laying there with my head in my hands. What'll it be? What will it be to be there? What's it going to be like whenever I don't have to face the sorrow and the sadness? What will it be like to be pain-free again? What will it be like to be there? It is to be an earnest expectation within us that as other men's hearts fail them for fear, whenever their one hope in this life is dashed to pieces and they're left hopeless, Jesus said, lift up your head. Lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. There's reason to hope today, saints. There's reason to look up. The world's getting wicked. It's getting dark. Don't know what's coming, but I know one person that's coming in the clouds of His glory to receive those of us who are expecting and looking for Him for the hope of His coming. You know, it's going to take something though to have the earnest of this inheritance. It's going to take more than just an empty hope that I hope I make it. That I hope that I'll be ready. Many people have that hope. Many people say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many mighty works in Your name? Surely I'll be ready. Surely I'll hear. Of anyone, surely I'll hear, well done. Only to be so horrifyingly surprised when they hear depart from me. You know, this hope can be bright. The song, Fire in the Soul, says, is thy hope unclouded by fear? You know, our hope doesn't have to be clouded. It doesn't have to be dim or obscure by shadows and questions of our life. Remember what the last chapter of the book of Revelation, chapter 22, of all the vision and the revelation and the understanding that the Lord gave unto John of the times and the signs that would unfold before this world. He saw and understood that, and verse 12 says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. You know, for some, that would strike fear within their hearts, if the fear of God is still on their hearts, would strike fear upon them to think at any moment, at any time, and I can remember, no doubt all of us can remember a time that I couldn't go to bed with this bright hope. That I had some question, I had doubts, I had fear when I thought of death. Lord, please not tonight. Please not today. I don't want to die right now. Please let me wait a little longer to make sure. To know that everything is right. To know that everything is clear. Because what a horrible thought to think that the Lord is coming quickly and I'm not ready. That there are doubts, that my hope of heaven is obscured, that it's dimmed by something. But it wasn't so with John. Verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. You know, that can be the answer of every one of our hearts. If our hearts, Scripture says, condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. If our hearts are clear and don't condemn us and we're walking in the light of His Word and the path that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Was it Enoch that walked with the Lord and walked with Him and was so close to Him that he just went ahead and took Him on? to be with the Lord. I don't expect to be taken home like that, but I want to walk closer and closer to the Lord. I want to be in my life. I want it to be a life that He has revealed more and more to me, more and more to my understanding. And you know, as that happens, the earnest of this expectation, this earnest expect, this intense longing and hope that I have is only going to get brighter and brighter. It's going to grow more and more as we draw closer and closer to the Lord, that I can have such confidence as John said, Lord, even so come, that I can welcome that time, that I can look for the day when He returns in the clouds. It doesn't have to be in fear and dread that I look to it, but an intense longing within my heart, because all is clear, all is open and washed in the blood, and I can have just such a feeling of a, I don't even know how to describe, of a burning clearness before the Lord, that I can just answer, my heart can answer to the Lord. That witness of the Spirit can say from my heart, Lord, I'm ready. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We all today can have this bright hope that the Lord has made available for us. This hope, Scripture says, is an anchor of the soul. It'll keep us in the hard times. It'll keep us in the storms of life. In the difficult places that would blow us off track, it'll keep us. It'll anchor us whenever the enemy comes along and tries to shove us off course. If we'll keep our eyes on the goal, and that expectation or that longing, if we keep it intense within our heart, you pray for me. Amen.